Week 3 kicks off tonight. Patriots, Jets, fantasy football. We're back. Adam Pfeiffer here. Welcome back, everybody, to For the Numbers, presented by FTNFantasy.com. It is Thursday, September the 19th, 2024. It's only week 3, so I'm not going to do the thing where we complain about the Thursday night game, because we're just happy to have football back. And we'll talk about it, but this is going to be one of the slowest paced games ever between the Jets and Patriots. But we'll break that game down, as well as every other game here in week 3. This is the preview podcast for the week, going in depth on every game, helping you set your fantasy lineups, help you with DFS contests, everything you would need for any football question you might have. And to even help even more, I mean, you pair this podcast every week with the rankings at FTNFantasy.com, the advanced stats hub, the tools, the videos, the articles, the access to the Discord. FTNFantasy.com, check it out today. What are you waiting for? Best time of year for sports is about to be here, by the way. Football, we're good to go. Locked and loaded for football. Still have playoff baseball about to start. And then, before you know it, basketball's back. So, great time to be a sports fan. Great time to be part of FTNFantasy.com. Podcast also brought to you by Circa. Our friends over at Circa, once again, sponsoring the program. With the return of the NFL, we also have the return of the largest pro football contest in Vegas, Circa Survivor and Circa Millions. Make 5 picks against the spread each week for your share of tons and tons of money. No rake. That's the best part about it as well. Enter in Nevada or play from anywhere. Visit circasports.com for all the details. Best of luck. And best of luck in week 3 for fantasy football. Let's get to it. Starting with the games. Thursday night football, Jets at home against the Patriots. Injury news, not much here. Really just the Jets defense. Jermaine Johnson out for the year with a torn Achilles. CJ Mosley might not play in this game. He hasn't been practicing. This is a very easy game. There are 3 players that you must start. There is 1 other player that you definitely can start. And then, I know injuries have played a massive role, but then there's really nobody else that you should start, most likely. Let's start with the Jets. Breece Hall, obviously one of those must-start players. The snap share and everything was down a little bit last week. He was like in and out of the game, kind of. He was like using the exercise bike in the sideline. So a lot of times you saw that is when Braylon Allen came in and scored 2 touchdowns. But this is still very much Breece's backfield. He's been awesome. He has 52.5% of the Jets' overall touches. That's any position, not just running back. The entire team's touches, 52.5% of them have gone to Breece Hall. That's the highest rate in the NFL. The Rams, I don't know why I just said the Rams. The Jets, rather, targeting running backs 32.7% of the time. Massive rate. This is a tough matchup, right? Patriots, elite run defense, but you're starting Breece Hall. You're obviously starting Garrett Wilson, too. I know it's been a little bit slow of a start, but the target share is still elite. It's just under 30%. He's at like a 40%+ first read target share. He just had some really tough matchups. And don't get me wrong, this is a pretty tough one too. Like Christian Gonzalez, he's been in shadow coverage each of the first 2 weeks. He was in shadow coverage against DK Metcalf last week for about 89% of his routes. And then Jamar Chase back in week 1 for 86% of his routes. That long Metcalf touchdown was not in Gonzalez's coverage. It was kind of a blown coverage. But we did see Metcalf go for like 140 in a touchdown. JSN went crazy in that game. So I think Garrett Wilson is going to have still a really good season. He's still somebody that you should trade for. Maybe don't expect like top 5 to 8 production in this game, especially with the pace. Jets are averaging 30 seconds per snap. It's one of the slowest paces in the NFL. So I'm not expecting like 8 for 120 and a touchdown from Garrett Wilson. It's possible for him, but I don't like you'd have to be embarrassingly loaded at wide receiver to even consider benching him. You have to have like, I don't know, like I'm trying to think of players that went after Garrett Wilson that you could theoretically say I would start over him. Chris Godwin, probably. Yeah, that's probably it. Like, so better days ahead. And I still think he'd be here. First home game of the season for the Jets. Not worried about Garrett Wilson. For the Patriots, it's really just Ramondre Stevenson, who's been awesome. He's accounted for 48.6% of the Patriots' total touches. That's second in the NFL behind only Breece Hall. And this Jets run defense has been really bad. So far this season, 16.7% of the runs against the Jets have gained 10-plus yards. That's the fifth highest rate in football. Stevenson's averaging well over 20 touches per game. It's the focal point of the offense. And he still got all that work last week with Antonio Gibson also finally getting some work as well. And then Hunter Henry is the only other player I would consider here. Tight end's brutal. Henry was awesome last week, and he actually leads all tight ends with a 27.3% target share this season. Jets haven't been really, you know, giving up much to tight ends so far this season. But still, you look at it like, when Jacoby Brissett throws a football in this game, where is he going to go? Is he going to go to KJ Osborne and Jalen Polk and Pop Douglas against Sauce and DJ Reed? I don't like that matchup for the Jets, or for the Patriots, rather. Especially if CJ Mosley's out. I know Quincy Williams is their better coverage linebacker, but Hunter Henry's probably a borderline top 12 tight end. But yeah, that's it from this game. That is it. This next game's kind of gross too, honestly. Chargers at the Pittsburgh Steelers. Two teams that want to run the living hell out of the football, so we might see limited possessions in this game as well. We'll keep an eye on Justin Herbert dealing with an ankle. It doesn't seem serious. Didn't practice Wednesday, but keep an eye on that. How can you bench J.K. Dobbins right now? Yes, this will be his first real test, but leads the NFL in rushing. He has a 26% avoided tackle rate, and 26% of his runs have gained 10-plus yards. The Chargers, as a team, lead the NFL in yards before contact per attempt, almost 3 yards before contact per attempt. But this should be a game where the Chargers can still run the ball 30 times and 16 of them can go to Dobbins. He's been getting goal line work lately over Gus Edwards and he's playing most of the third down. So, yeah, he's a top 20 running back. Just don't know how you get away from him right now. The rest of the Chargers are complete desperation flex plays. Quentin Johnson, 2 touchdowns last week. He's looked better. He's getting a lot of their first read targets, so a lot of scheme stuff for him. But if Herbert's somehow out, you're not touching any of the receivers. Not that you really love them anyway in this spot. Plus, Quentin Johnson probably going to see more of Joey Porter in this game. So it's mostly just Dobbins for me here. And then the Steelers, George Pickens is somebody that I talked about on Wednesday's trade episode. Somebody I want to trade for. I talked about with Garrett Wilson, tough matchups. The same has happened for George Pickens, but he's been really productive still. I mean, not so much last week, but let's get into it. Last week against the Broncos, shadowed by Pat Surtain, but got separation, had a 50-plus yard reception called back via a holding penalty, had a touchdown called back due to OPI. He has almost 100 yards just taken away off penalties this season, and he looks good. Last year, according to FTN's Advanced Stats Hub, his open separation rate was at 24%. This year, it's over 36%. He's top 10 in the NFL in yards per out run. There's more scheme touches for him. I think only 2 of his targets this season have come off go routes. Like, he looks great. I wouldn't call him a must-start player in this spot, but I still love him. I think he's a really strong play. And then Najee Harris. He's a flex play. If he scores, he's going to get you like 15 fantasy points. If not, he'll get you 70 rushing yards probably. We did see Jaylen Warren get back to the usage we have been kind of accustomed to seeing from him last week. He played pretty much that role of 50-50 with Harrison getting all the third downs again. I think he had 11 touches, so I would still try to find other options, but he's back in our lives as a viable PPR flex based off the usage we saw last week. Yeah, he played 10 of 13 third downs, 47% of the snaps, 11 touches. That sounds like what we saw from Jaylen Warren all of last season. But yeah, 2 teams that are top 5 in neutral script rush rate. Don't see this game. This just feels like a, at best, like 20 to 16 type of game. Not so much the case in this one. The Philadelphia Eagles, coming off a tough loss, now travel to New Orleans to take on the hottest team in the NFL. Start the Saints. Start the Saints. I mean, Alvin Kamara is the best player in fantasy. You're starting him. He's averaging 21 touches per game. His four goal line carries are second most in the NFL. The Eagles have been getting gashed on the ground. Like, a ton of explosive plays. They're bottom five in yards before contact allowed per attempt. Yeah, start Kamara, obviously. Chris Olave, the best player to trade for in fantasy right now. Talk about him on Wednesday's episode as well if you want to go back and listen, but he is the only one that really hasn't fully benefited from this massive shift in offense by Clint Kubiak. Rashid Shaheed scoring touchdowns, Kamara scoring touchdowns, the tight ends are scoring touchdowns. It's just not Olave, who was a yard shy of a touchdown last week, had 4 for 81. He only has 2 targets so far this season in the second half of games. I think they both came last week. Like, these blowouts from the Saints have not helped Chris Olave. So we need the Eagles to push the Saints to keep throwing for the entire game. And if that happens against this secondary, yeah, Olave is going to have that breakout performance, then the trade window is going to shut. Derek Carr, he's my quarterback 8 this week. He's been phenomenal. It's not just Clint Kubiak that's, you know, brought life to this offense. Derek Carr is making some big-time throws. And we've talked about the uptick in pre-snap motion from the Saints, climbing from 31st last year to 1st in pre-snap motion this season. The Eagles so far this year, according to the Advanced Stats Hub, 10.3 yards per attempt, 4th worst. 7.8 yards after the catch per attempt, 2nd worst on pre-snap motion plays. So that's great for Derek Carr. We saw their defense. It's just a very, very attackable defense. Carr, 1.8 pass attempts per game with pre-snap motion last year. That's up to almost 7 this year. Rashid Shaheed, like, somehow was still out there in a lot of leagues going into the week. He's a strong wide receiver 3 at the very worst. He's been phenomenal. He's being used in many ways for this offense. He's 1st in the entire NFL in yards per out run. I don't know how you get away from the Saints here. Absolutely love them. For the Eagles, A.J. Brown probably out again, so we'll see Devonta Smith continue to be a must-start receiver. 10 targets last game. Still played in the slot 40% of the time. It was a little bit lower than it was in week 1 without A.J. Brown, but he's really good. He's getting, I think his floor is probably 9-10 targets. Eagles will have to score in this game. So, you're starting Smith, you're starting Barkley, obviously. The touches have been massive, his volume has been huge. Saints' run defense has been good, but they haven't been tested, right? They faced Carolina, and then they faced Dallas's mediocre, not even mediocre, backfield. 22 to 24 touches for Barkley, who leads the NFL in touches so far this season. And I thought Jalen Hurts, interesting without A.J. Brown last week, it looked like there was more emphasis on getting him going on the ground. He had 13 carries against the Falcons last week, 9 of which were designed. I think that's something to keep an eye on, especially against the Saints team that over the past like 3 or 4 years has been every year top or bottom 5, however you want to look at it, in allowing the most rushing yards per game to quarterbacks. A lot of that schematically, I think, is just because this has been one of the most man coverage heavy teams in the NFL. And more often than not, teams that play a lot of man coverage, the defensive backs have their backs turned, quarterbacks escape the pocket, and all of a sudden they have room to run. So you don't love the fact that A.J. Brown's not there, but the tush push was at full effect last week. Think Hurts looked healthier when he was running with the football. He's still a must-start quarterback. And then Dallas Goedert, like we talked about Hunter Henry. He's somebody I think I would start over Goedert, even with A.J. Brown out. Like, he just still didn't do much last week. Just doesn't get a lot of looks. They were too busy throwing like 6 screen passes to Britton Covey for whatever reason. I cannot tell you. Let's move on to the Houston Texans at the Minnesota Vikings. We'll keep an eye on Justin Jefferson, but fully expect him to play. He's been limited, but he said he should be good to go. obviously starting him. Aaron Jones, a low-end running back too, assuming he's good to go. Just keep an eye. Ty Chandler's getting a little bit more work each week. Still somebody, one of my favorite kind of bench stashes in redraft is Ty Chandler. And then for the Texans, like, you're starting Stroud. We know the Vikings are going to blitz a lot. So far, 35.5% blitz rate, second highest in the NFL. Stroud against the blitz last year, 62% completion rate, 7 touchdowns, 1 interception, almost 9 yards per pass attempt. Nico Collins, just insane. Legitimate top 10 NFL wide receiver. He wins in every way. He's unstoppable. So, must start receiver. And then Tank Dell and Stephon Diggs are both on that high-end wide receiver 3 range for me. Just, you know, they're giving Tank Dell opportunities. It just hasn't quite happened yet. Still somebody I would also buy low on. And we'll have to keep an eye on Mixon. This is the one to keep an eye on because he didn't practice Wednesday. He's dealing with the ankle. Damian Pierce also out, so there's a chance we get a spot start from one, you know, former, I don't want to say fantasy star, but, you know, top-end fantasy running back, Cam Akers. So we'll keep an eye on that. Somebody you can pick up right now and kind of, especially if you have Mixon on your team. And like I said, for the Vikings, it's Jefferson, it's Jones. That's about it. All right, we'll do one more game before we take our first break of the episode. It's Green Bay. It's Tennessee. Jordan Love has a chance to play. He was limited in practice on Wednesday. I tend to think it's one more week for Jordan Love. I think we could see him week 4. I don't think he plays this week, so I would anticipate, and I'm ranking it as such, that we'll see Malik Willis for the second straight week. And he was fine last week, but we knew that Matt LaFleur was going to really lean on the run. 79% rush rate for Green Bay last week. 32 carries for Josh Jacobs. You're obviously starting him, especially just with that usage. It's insane. He also fumbled, I think, in the end zone. He could have had an even better day, but he's looked pretty good. But other than that, like, are you starting Jaden Reed or any of the receivers? Like, there was no pass game usage last week. Tennessee's defense is legit. They're really good. So right now, until Jordan Love comes back, it's pretty much just Josh Jacobs. And for the Titans, we'll see if Tajay Spears plays. He didn't practice on Wednesday. He said he's going to play. But if he ends up missing this game, Tony Pollard's a top 12 running back. And I'm in some leagues where I have to debate benching like Derrick Henry for Tony Pollard. And I might do it if Spears is out because Tony Pollard simply won't leave the field. Like, Spears, it hasn't quite happened yet. Like, his playing time definitely went up last week before he left the game. But overall for the season, Pollard's played 65.3% of the snaps. He's accounted for 44.6% of the Titans' overall touches. That's the 8th highest rate in football. Like, he would get 20 opportunities in this game if Spears is out. He would play most, if not all, of the third downs. And this Green Bay run defense is still one that we can attack. 2.4 yards before contact per attempt, 6th worst in the NFL. 17.9% of the runs against the Packers have gained 10-plus yards. That's the 3rd highest rate in the NFL. So I think Pollard's a really solid top 20 running back no matter what. And if we end up having Spears miss this game, he pushes into the top 12 for me. Finally for Tennessee, Calvin Ridley. Great game last week. It was weird. He had a rushing touchdown and then a crazy catch over Sauce. The target share, the air yard share, both fantastic, but he's still kind of a volatile wide receiver 3 for me, especially with the way Will Levis is playing. It's giving Calvin Ridley both upside and downside with the way Will Levis is playing right now. Okay, we will take our first break. When we come back, a ton of more games to talk about. So much more action. And a loaded 13, 14, 15, I don't even know how many games. All the games. Nobody's on bye. It's all the games. Quick math would have solved that for me. We'll be right back here. Don't go anywhere. Okay, we are back. Giants at Cleveland up next. And it has been a rough start to the season for Amari Cooper. Just Amari Cooper and Terry McLaurin are the two wide receivers that stand out to me where it's just been like, what is happening this season? Cooper, 121.5 air yards per game, fifth most in the NFL. But according to the Advanced Stats Hub, he has just 38 catchable air yards, and 14 of his 17 total targets this season have been in tight coverage. So it's been maybe losing a step, pushing age 30. We know the quarterback play has not been good. The thing too, though, like I mentioned with the air yards and the catchable air yards, he should have two like 40-plus yard touchdowns this season. So it's been a really rough start. He's a boom-bust wide receiver three for me, even against the Giants. It's just been really tough to trust. And this backfield's kind of interesting too. Like, after week one, especially because we have a sample size of him playing without Chubb, looked like Jerome Ford would just be like this huge workhorse getting 70% of the opportunities. Then last week, Dante Foreman starts the game, plays 38% of the snaps, and out-touches Jerome Ford 15-8. And Foreman got the goal line work. So that's a little concerning for Ford. Maybe it was a matchup-based thing against Jacksonville. Maybe it was just, I don't know. I do think it's possible that Ford goes back to just starting this week and getting, you know, 20 touches to Foreman's 8. And if Pierre Strong misses this game, there's more third down work available for both these guys. The matchup's great, too. Giants run defense has not been good. We just saw Brian Robinson Jr. dominate against them. And then back in week one, Aaron Jones was pretty good against them. So it's a risky flex play now for Ford. That's something I'm keeping an eye on when that game starts, though. Is it Dante Foreman again right out of the gate, or is it back to being Jerome Ford? And then the Giants are starting Malik. I just don't expect a 70% target share, but he now leads the NFL with a 33% target share. The Giants have nowhere else to go on offense when they throw the football. And when they're not throwing the football, they're giving it to Devin Singletary, who has played 75.6% of the snaps. That's the third highest rate among running backs. And he's handled all but 7 of the Giants' running back touches so far this season. And, oh, by the way, for the 500th time I've said this on this or on any podcast, the most underrated running back on the planet, Devin Singletary. Tampa Bay at Denver up next. This game's also very easy. Baker Mayfield, a high-end quarterback too. The Broncos right now blitzing at the highest rate in the NFL over half the time. Mayfield last year was good against the blitz. This year he's been great as well. He's just playing really, really well right now. Godwin, must-start receiver. I've gotten a lot wrong so far through 2 weeks, but the one thing I've gotten right has been my love for Chris Godwin this offseason. Literally my favorite player to draft, and he's the number one receiver in fantasy right now. He's been unbelievable. He's back in the slot over 60% of the time. He's already matched his touchdowns from last year. And now you look at this matchup, it's like, okay, Mike Evans is going to see Pat Surtain in this game. Advantage Godwin. So I think he's my wide receiver 10 or 11 on the week. He's looked awesome. And he's also 2 years now removed, I think, from the ACL. Like, he just looks a lot more explosive. Evans is still somebody I'm not really going away from, despite the tough matchup. Tough game last week against Detroit, but not worried. And then Rashad White is in a really good spot. The Broncos have been so bad, giving up so many fantasy points per game to running backs. He's limited with the groin right now. Maybe we could see some more Bucky Irving, but home favorite, bad run defense. I think Rashad White's still a solid play. And for the Broncos, I don't want to start anybody. The one thing I'll say is Tampa Bay has allowed a lot of receptions to running backs so far this season. So theoretically, that'd be a good spot for Javonte Williams, who went back to playing more of the snaps after losing a lot of work to Jaleel McLaughlin in week one. But I don't know how you feel good about anybody on the Broncos offense right now. So if I had to start anybody, it'd be Javonte Williams, and that's only if I'm really, like, if I lost, you know, McCaffrey and Ken Walker. If I'm missing like multiple running backs, that's probably how I'd get to starting Javonte Williams. Moving on to the Bears at the Indianapolis Colts. How about we get the Colts offense on the damn field? How about that? Because through 2 weeks, they cannot get on the field. Right now, the Colts, averaging a league-low 48 offensive plays per game. They're averaging 19 minutes and 54 seconds of possession. Both just dead last in the NFL. So part of it's them not sustaining drives. Part of it's them having long touchdowns. And part of it's turnovers. Right? It's a lot of things. The run defense also hasn't been good either. But if we can get a game where they can stay on the field in offense, it's going to help everybody. And also Shane Steichen. I've defended you all offseason. I've touted you as one of the league's, not quite in the Shanahan, McVay, O'Connell, McDaniel play caller level, but in that next tier. I said you were in that next tier of play callers. And I still think you are. But the fact that Jonathan Taylor played zero snaps in the fourth quarter last week is unacceptable. And we need to get that fixed. I don't care that you were passing and you were trailing. If you had, you know, one of these elite, unbelievable pass-catching running backs behind him, sure. But you don't bench Jonathan Taylor in the fourth quarter for Trey Sermon. Sorry, you just don't. Really tough matchup for Taylor. The Bears' run defense is unbelievable. But you're not benching Taylor. Richardson, it's been a roller coaster through 2 weeks for sure, but you can't really bench the upside he has. Again, this is a really tough matchup, but still going with Richardson. I would try to get away from Michael Pittman. And this is me taking the L on Pittman. I was really high on him this offseason. I thought he was one of the best values in drafts. The volume's been great, but there's been nothing downfield. All the downfield work is going to Alec Pierce. Then you have the fact that Richardson, 18.9% of his pass attempts have traveled 20 plus yards down the field, third highest rate in football. But against the Bears so far this season, teams are just 2 for 8 on 20 plus yard pass attempts. Then you have the fact that Josh Downs is fully practicing. He should be back. And teams aren't really playing man against the Colts because Richardson will just take off and run. And I think Josh Downs is going to be one of the players that's going to be great against zone coverage. So I'm worried about Michael Pittman, especially in a tough matchup. I would try to get away from him if possible here. For the Bears, it's just been brutal. Like, Shane Waldron's been awful. Caleb Williams was under pressure a ton last week. He's now been under pressure on 36.3% of his dropbacks over the course of the season. Like, it's bad. They really need Keenan Allen, and I don't think he's going to play this week, so you'll probably go back to DJ Moore and Rome in a much better matchup. So I think DJ Moore is still a wide receiver too. Rome's a volatile flex play. I'd like to see Rome get more involved. Remember the preseason, they were giving him like these jet sweeps and stuff. And he's obviously playing through an injury. He's not 100%, but I'm tempering expectations on the Chicago offense until we see something. DeAndre Swift's been terrible. It's a good matchup for him here, but I'm just really, really trying to temper expectations from this entire offense right now. Anything else? I mean, Swift is like, the matchup is really good for Swift. The Colts run defense has been really bad. It was 130 plus yards to Joe Mixon. Then it was 130 something yards to Josh Jacobs. Like, they've not been good. The problem is DeAndre Swift hasn't been very good either. Pretty much other than DJ Moore, like, all of the Bears are like flex plays at best, even in a pretty good matchup. Let's move on to the Carolina Panthers at Las Vegas. This has to be the spot, right? If it doesn't happen here for Zamir White, go ahead and drop him because it's not going to happen this year. And we did see him play more last week. In week one, the snap share was under 40%. Last week, it was over 63%. And he even got some work in the two-minute drill, which is a massive bonus for him. The Raiders have been the worst rush offense in the NFL. They have struggled to do anything. They're dead last in yards before contact per attempt. But this is it. This is the medicine they need. it's the Carolina Panthers defense, and specifically the run defense. We just saw what Dobbins did against them. We saw what Kamara did against him in week one. They're allowing 2.6 yards before contact per attempt, third worst in the NFL. Game script shouldn't be bad for him here. Probably gets 15 to 18 touches. And if you get 15 to 18 touches against the Carolina Panthers, you are going to produce. It's kind of that simple. So he's a flex play. If it doesn't happen here, it's not happening for him. Who it has been happening for, though, is Brock Bowers. It's been unbelievable. 8.5 targets per game leads all tight ends. 21.3% target share is third. He's averaging 0.36 fantasy points per snap. And he hasn't even scored a touchdown yet. He's looked so good. They're using him in creative ways. He's playing out wide in the slot, out of the backfield, in line. So, yeah. And the Raiders, I think it probably won't be the case this week, but they're top five in neutral script pass rate because they can't run the football. And when they're throwing the football, it's going to Brock Bowers and it's going to Davante Adams. Panthers also play a ton of single high safety, so good luck. Man-to-man coverage with Davante Adams. J.C. Horn's a good player, but yeah, not good enough to stop Adams here. And then for Carolina, like, Andy Dalton's going to start at quarterback. They've made the switch. Chuba Hubbard's actually in a pretty good spot here, too. The Raiders' run defense has been terrible. Derrick Henry got them last week. In week one, they got absolutely destroyed by J.K. Dobbins. So, yeah, I think Chuba's a desperation flex play as well. I probably want to wait and see what the pass catchers with Dalton. Deontay will probably have some weeks with Andy Dalton now. Bryce Young has just been that bad. But I'd rather wait and see a week here before starting anybody from Carolina if I can help it. Let's go to the NFC West, where San Fran is traveling to the whatever the hell is left for the Los Angeles Rams. I mean, you look on Twitter every afternoon and somebody else is getting placed on IR. Today it's, you know, half their offensive line, it's safety John Johnson, not Cooper Kupp, which is potentially good news, but this is a smash spot for Brandon Ayuk, for Jordan Mason, and for George Kittle. We know Deebo Samuel's out. According to FTN data, since 2022, George Kittle, 16.2% target share with Deebo Samuel on the field, but with Deebo off the field, it goes up to 23%. And his target per out run rate climbs to 27%. Ayuk, meanwhile, he's like 28% target share without Deebo. He should have two touchdowns this year. He dropped one in week one, and Purdy missed him last week on a touchdown. Against the Rams with just nothing left on defense, it wouldn't surprise me. Like, I literally would not be surprised if we look back on it going after week three ended, and Mason was the high-scoring running back, Ayuk was the high-scoring receiver, and Kittle was the high-scoring tight end. Would not surprise me at all. Like, we've always wondered, like, who's... It's been such a crowded offense, but now it's just going to be hyper-concentrated. It's going to be Purdy throwing to Ayuk and Kittle and some Juwan Jennings, and then handing the ball off to Jordan Mason 18 to 20 times. Matchup's so good here, too. Jordan Mason, last 2 weeks, well, I guess first 2 weeks, however you want to look at it, 81% of the snaps, 48 carries, 76.2% of the rushing attempts, 45.5% of the team's total touches. Now he gets the Rams' run defense. Fifth most yards before contact per attempt. Just 11.3% of the runs against the Rams have been stuffed at or behind line of scrimmage. That's the third lowest rate. And they've allowed 3 rushing touchdowns. And they've allowed the RB15, RB17, and RB7 in fantasy. So, yeah, start all of these guys. Purdy. Purdy's a good play as well, just because the Rams' defense is terrible. We just saw what Kyler did to them. And if I think, you know, Kittle and Ayuk are going to smash, then Purdy should come along for the ride and have his best day of the season pretty easily. For the Rams, I mean, Kyren's a volume play, but he's closer to, like, RB20 than he is to, like, RB12 for me. The volume was still great last week. The only time it wasn't great was when the game was kind of over right away, but they gave Blake Corum the final 8 plays of the game all carry, so don't look into that. Kyren Williams is still dominating the usage. He should get like 4 to 5 catches with all of the players that are out, and he still leads the NFL with 5 goal line carries. I don't love the matchup, but hard to bench that usage. And then Demarcus Robinson, PPR flex, would try to avoid it if possible. No way you can start Stafford here. And it didn't work last week, but we did see Kobe Parkinson run a route on 94% of dropbacks last game. So if you're still looking for a streaming tight end, if we don't get Ferguson back, if Njoku doesn't play, if Ingram's not back, you know, Parkinson's still out there and he's still going to be running routes on a team that's probably going to be chasing points. So could do a lot worse. Baltimore Ravens at the Dallas Cowboys up next. This game could be fun. Dallas defense obviously coming off a brutal game. The Ravens as a whole coming off a brutal loss. They're 0-2, playing with a lot of desperation right now. I love Zay Flowers. I think he's a must-start player. Fourth in the NFL right now with 21 targets. Getting a ton of them off screens. I think at five so far this season. We saw Dallas allow a huge screen touchdown to Kamara last week. And they're still playing a ton of cover one. They're second in the NFL right now with 33 dropbacks in cover one. Flowers, so far this season, it's early, but a 35% target share against cover one is the fifth highest rate in football. His floor is just so high right now with the way this offense is. And I do worry about the offensive line, especially going up against Micah Parsons. But that's just kind of given Zay Flowers his massive floor. Like, he'll get the occasional deep targets. He got an end zone target that he converted into a touchdown last week, but he's going to catch like four plus balls every game. I also kind of like the usage from Derrick Henry last week. I know the overall snaps and everything don't tell the full story, but I'm talking strictly of like how he was used. In week one against the Chiefs, there's a lot of shotgun runs right up the gut, and that's where the weakest point of this offensive line is. It's the interior. And historically, Henry's been at his best if you get him off tackle and get him in space. And we saw more of that with the Ravens last week against the Raiders, where Henry had his best game. Also got the Wildcat goal line rushing touchdown. And Dallas has just always, over the past couple seasons, been a team that's undersized against the run. And it's gotten them into a lot of trouble. Kamara obviously went crazy against him last week. But this is a run defense you can attack. So I still like Henry quite a bit here. You're obviously starting Lamar Jackson. I'm not getting away from Andrews. The real question is, like, Isaiah Likely. We all knew that the week one stat line wasn't really going to be repeated. But with Isaiah Likely, it comes down to just like how often are the Ravens going to use 12 personnel. That's going to dictate what he does each week. You would think they would just want their best players on the field on offense, which means they'd have to run more 12 because their best players on offense are Zay Flowers, Henry, Andrews, and Likely. But after playing 12 personnel over 50% of the time in week one, it dropped to 30% against the Raiders. And as a result of that, Likely ran a route on less than 50% of the dropbacks. So I struggle to have him as this like must-start top 12 tight end because there's going to be a lot of volatility there. If you told me right now, yeah, the Ravens are going to play 12 personnel 60% of the time, I'd probably have Likely as a top 10 guy. Because when he's out there, when he's running routes, he draws targets. But if they're 30%, it's probably going to be tough for him to get there. For Dallas, I'm avoiding the backfield entirely. They mixed in Deuce Vaughn last week. And after the first two drives, Zeke, Dowdle, and Deuce Vaughn all had three carries. It's an absolute mess. They can't run the football. CeeDee Lamb, a little bit banged up with an ankle. He should be fine. You're starting him. Ferguson might be back this week. I'd probably start him. We just saw Brock Bowers torch this defense. And Dak's high-end QB2 for me against the Ravens. Whew, a lot of games. Let's keep going. Miami at Seattle. A lot of news here. A lot to break down. Obviously, Tua out for the next four games at the very least. And we have splits. We have some troublesome splits for these wide receivers. Tyreek Hill joined the Dolphins in 2022. In five games without Tua since joining Miami, he's averaging 6.5 catches, 74 yards, and 15.5 fantasy points per game. And you say, Adam, that's not that bad. Well, when you're considering in games with Tua, he's averaging 22 fantasy points per game and about 35 more receiving yards per game, yeah, it becomes a bit of a problem. he's still getting all the scheme stuff, the pre-snap motion, all that stuff that I'm not benching Tyreek Hill, but he's not a top five receiver for me. I am benching Jalen Waddle, though, because his splits are even worse. A lot of that's because he's not as good as a player on a per-game basis or at all as Tyreek. But he's played 9 games without Tua. In those games, he's averaging 5 catches, 55 yards, 10.7 fantasy points. That's about 5 fewer fantasy points per game than he's averaging with Tua. So I would avoid him if possible. We'll see what Devon Achane's workload is if Raheem Mostert's back. I don't think they want him getting 25, 28 touches. But they just have to give him the football. I mean, he's been so good in the passing game. He's second in the NFL in touches right now behind Barkley. And he's played out wide or in the slot 23 times. He's third among running backs with a 17.3% target share. And we have Skylar Thompson under center. When we last saw Skylar Thompson play meaningful snaps in 2022, I believe it was, 7 games, he had a 19% checkdown rate. So I expect Achane to catch another 5-6 passes, especially because like they have nothing after Waddle and Hill, just nothing. For Seattle, Ken Walker, I don't think he's going to play this week either with the oblique. Charbonnet started in his absence on Sunday, played 96% of snaps, handled every single running back touch for Seattle. Wasn't very efficient. He keeps getting these awful matchups too when he starts for Ken Walker, but he's now started 3 games for Walker. In those games, he's averaging 19 touches and almost 4 targets per game. This matchup's much better. We saw what James Cook did against Miami last week, and then we saw in week 1, Tank Bigsby and Etienne were both pretty productive against the Dolphins. So Charbonnet would be, assuming Walker's out, which I'm ranking it and projecting it that way, Charbonnet would be a top 20 running back. And for the receivers, the JSN usage was awesome. Ryan Grubb last week went back to way more, early down, pass rate, aggressive style. Geno Smith's been awesome so far this season. Metcalf must start. JSN, strong wide receiver 3. Lockett, kind of a risky flex play here against the Dolphins. All right, we'll take one more break. When we come back, we'll close out the rest of the 4 o'clock games. Get to the Sunday night game. We have 2 Monday night games this week, which I'm excited about. We'll finish breaking down all of week 3 when we come back here on the podcast. Talk to you then. All right, the Detroit Lions at the Arizona Cardinals up next. Man, how good was Arizona last week? Pretty interesting matchup here. Kyler was unbelievable. You're starting him. It was good to see too, because in week 1, he couldn't get anything going on vertical passes, and that all changed in week 2. Obviously he was looking to Marvin Harrison's way immediately. But Kyler, top 5 quarterback. James Conner with a really tough matchup. Like, we haven't seen a running back even reach 70 yards against the Lions in like over a year. Nobody did it all of last year. I don't believe anybody's done it so far this season. So it is a terrible matchup, but Connor looks great. The volume's great, so it's hard to bench him. Marvin Harrison goes from we're excited about him to we're worried about him to we're excited about him again. He's a top 15 wide receiver, and Trey McBride's probably the top tight end fantasy going forward. We've also seen the Lions really give it up to the slot. Now, to be fair, it was Cooper Kupp in a game where Puka left early and he got 21 targets, so that has a lot to do with it, but Godwin destroyed them last week too, so whether that's McBride in the snaps he plays out of the slot or Greg Dortch as a DFS play, keep an eye on that because the Lions have struggled to defend the slot through 2 weeks. They weren't great last year either, to be fair, at defending it. For the Lions, Amon-Ra should be good to go. You're starting him. Gibbs, Montgomery, both really strong plays. I am worried about Sam Laporta. I don't know how you're benching him or anything like that. I'm not saying bench him, and he will have some good games here, but like, it's pretty clear who's being impacted the most by Jameson Williams' bump in usage. Like, Jameson Williams is like top 10 in the NFL in first read targets and first read target share. Like, he is not just become, and I missed on this. I like Jameson Williams for a little bit in the offseason, then the price was way too high in drafts, and I completely backed off. Mainly because I thought, what's his ceiling for targets? Like, he's going to be, get a couple vertical targets and get a couple screens per game, but that's not the case at all. He's being used as a legitimate player at all levels of the field. And that's really impacting Sam Laporta. So Amon-Ra, you're starting. Jameson Williams is, it's hard. I don't know how you get away from him, especially in this spot, which should be a high scoring game. Goff's who I struggle with because he has been so bad this year. Like, I think if the Lions, like if Jared Goff plays a little bit better, the Lions are comfortably 2-0. He's been late on throws. He's just been bad. So like, even in this pretty juicy spot, like I'd rather go to like Derek Carr, Geno Smith, and probably Baker. He just hasn't looked good. All right, we have the Sunday night football game and then two Monday games. On Sunday night, it is Chiefs, it is Falcons. Falcons look better. Still a lot of play action, or still a lot of under center, or still a lot of shotgun, but there's more under center, more play action. So that's good to see. Cousins still didn't look 100% in terms of like throwing to the sidelines, didn't have the velocity on the throws, and I think that'll come with time. But overall, it's good to see that they ran more play action. They were really run heavy. Bijan looks amazing. He's been as good as he's been without even scoring a touchdown. He's getting 80% of the opportunities. And they went more three wide receivers in this game too, which isn't a surprise because that's what they were doing in the preseason. In this spot, you know, Drake London, it's kind of funny because he had a solid game, like 60 yards and a touchdown last week. But if Saquon Barkley doesn't drop that third down pass, that gives the Falcons a chance. I think he had like a 15-yard catch and then the touchdown on that drive. So would have been really bad. I have London as a boom bust wide receiver 2 against the Chiefs. They've just shut down wide receiver 1s. They've doubled team Chase. You know, they had a lot of McDuffie on him, but then there was a lot of bracket coverage last week. You know, Snead was obviously great last year where they allowed the second fewest receiving yards per game to opposing wide receiver 1. So I don't love the spot. It's a much better spot for Bijan. And it's a much better spot for Kyle Pitts. The Chiefs have been awful against tight ends. Like, you combine what the Cincinnati Bengals tight ends did against them last week, and it's massive production. And then obviously in week 1, Isaiah Likely tore them apart. So Pitts is going to be frustrating. He's still running a ton of the routes, but he's going to be boom bust, but this is a really, really good spot for him. Obviously, you're starting Bijan as well. For the Chiefs, Mahomes has quietly been, for a little bit now, a pretty underwhelming fantasy quarterback. Not really getting cute and benching him here, especially because I think we just see way more passing with Isaiah Pacheco out. Rashee Rice, must-start player. Kelce, I'm buying low on him. I think he breaks out of it here. I think we just see more of the Kelce design targets inside the 10-yard line with Pacheco out. Worthy, he's a boom bust wide receiver 3 as well. The backfield, good luck. If I had to guess, it would be Carson Steele getting the first crack at the early down work, Samaje Perine playing the third downs and 2-minute drills, and probably Carson Steele getting the goal line work. But I think we go back to Andy Reid being cute in the red zone. I don't think they want to have all this trust in Carson Steele. So desperation flex at best. Full PPR leagues, I might lean Samaje Perine. Jacksonville at Buffalo is the first Monday night game. For the Bills, let's hope Josh Allen can throw the ball 30 times because he will smash. It was frustrating last week, but it's not even his fault. You're still starting him. Jacksonville has also played the most man coverage in the NFL. They play a ton of press man coverage. That's always pretty advantageous against Josh Allen because he can obviously step up and run and get a bunch of 15 to 20 yard runs. You're starting Josh Allen. You're starting James Cook, who looks awesome. This Bills duo run scheme looks awesome. The work in the passing game is still going to be there. Jacksonville, a team that you can definitely get production on the ground against. So those are the two must-start players. I'm still trusting Dalton Kincaid. I want one normal Bills game for Kincaid. Week 1, the Bills offense couldn't get on the field in the first half. Josh Allen had 2 pass attempts at the 2-minute warning of the first half in that game. And then last week, obviously, Kincaid gets like 2 scheme targets the first 2 plays of the game, gets kicked in the head, leaves that rest of that drive. And then all of a sudden, the game spirals. The Bills are up 24-7. Josh Allen throws the ball 19 times. The route participation, everything is still great for Kincaid. So I'm not losing faith just yet on him. But then you have like Shakir and Keon Coleman. Shakir is a flex play. He's the player I feel safest about at wide receiver. Coleman, I wouldn't feel great starting him, but there will be opportunities in one-on-one coverage against Jacksonville. They will give you that. For Jacksonville, it's really just Etienne and one of the wide receivers. I think this could be a huge game for Etienne in the passing game, potentially. The Bills are playing so much cover two. They're playing the most cover two in the NFL. They have been for about 2 years now the best team in the NFL at limiting explosive passing plays. So it's not great for Brian Thomas. It's also not great for Trevor Lawrence, who's been taking a ton of shots down the field. He's top five in percentage of passes going 20-plus yards. That would spell a good matchup for Christian Kirk with where he kind of operates if they're giving you all the short stuff. Slot receivers, we saw Greg Dortch be a really huge part of the passing game for the Cardinals week one because they were taking away the deep stuff from Marvin Harrison. I don't know how you have faith in him, but this feels like a spot for Christian Kirk, especially if Jacksonville's chasing points. I still think Brian Thomas is the receiver I'd rank the highest for Jacksonville going forward. Just looks the best. But this seems like schematically the type of game where the Bills kind of take away what Brian Thomas does and allow Christian Kirk to catch six-yard passes and Travis Etienne to catch five-yard dump-offs and stuff like that. And we'll see. Evan Engram, last time I looked, was week-to-week. So I would probably plan to be without him, but and maybe that would only help you feel a little bit better about someone like Christian Kirk in the spot. All right, let's close it out with Commanders at Bengals. Jamar Chase, if you can trade for him, do it now before this game because the Bengals should be able to smash here. Washington just keeps getting destroyed by wide receiver ones. Last year, it was 104 receiving yards per game to opposing number one wide receivers, mostly in the NFL. And then you look at what they've done so far this season. It's been hilarious. The worst secondary in the NFL by far. Maybe the worst defense in the NFL by far as well. Allowing 48 yards per drive, most in the NFL. 3.67 points per drive, most in the NFL. They're just really bad. Really, really bad across the board. I don't think you can start T. Higgins only because it's literally the last game of the week. And if we don't have confirmation on him playing by Friday, you just can't trust it. Literally, there will be no games left. Unless you want to say, hey, Andre Yoshivas scored twice last week. I'll pick him up, and I'll just play him if T. Higgins doesn't play. And honestly, because of the matchup, because of what he's done, far worse options out there. I don't think it's the worst idea. Gesicki's a streaming tight end. Like, he still was at like 50% of the snaps and routes. Like, he wasn't even a full-time player. So it's definitely risky there. And then Zach Moss, like, wasn't productive last week, but he is dominating snaps tonight. I played 82% of snaps last week. He is dominating third downs and pass protection snaps, dominating goal line work. There's probably going to be a point where the Bengals need more explosive plays and start to play Chase Brown more, but it's not happening yet. So Zach Moss is a borderline top 24 running back for me as a huge home favorite against a bad defense. And Washington's pass defense is far worse, but Singletary was pretty good against him last week. And then week one, both Rashad White and Bucky Irving were pretty productive as well. For Washington, Brian Robinson, must start running back. He's looked awesome. He's looked so good. And he's getting usage in the passing game as well. Washington's playing at the fastest pace in the NFL as we expected. Eckler's still taking some third down, a lot of third down work away. But Robinson's drawing targets when he's out there because like 40% of Jaden Daniels' pass attempts are behind line of scrimmage. And they're screens. So, against this bad run defense of the Bengals, that was terrible last year and looks terrible again this season, yeah, Brian Robinson Jr. is a must-start player. Jaden Daniels is a top 15 quarterback. The floor is pretty solid. Bengals are a defense that does allow a lot of explosive plays. Didn't quite happen last week, but I'm still comfortable with Jaden Daniels. I'm not so much about Terry McLaurin. The usage is just so bad. No movement, no pre-snap motion, staying on the left side of the formation 80 to 90% of the time. The downfield usage hasn't been there. Like, yeah, he had six catches for 22 yards last week. Like, him and Michael Pittman are both like really scary wide receiver threes that I have been moving down each week, and I'm just really, really worried about. So, there you have it for week number three here on the podcast, breaking down every single game in depth, a ton of stats. I'll be breaking down more stuff throughout the week as I find more information, which you can also find on FTNFantasy.com using the Advanced Stats Hub, the tools. We have the Pace tool, the Splits tool, all the DVOA, which is just as good as it gets, obviously. Well, those metrics are to help you become more knowledgeable about football. That's the best thing. That's the best way I can sell you on FTN. Become more knowledgeable about football. Go to FTNFantasy.com. Check out all we have to offer. We'll be back on Friday to close out the week. Hopefully we have a solid Thursday night game tonight. Give me some fantasy points. Give me Garrett Wilson's breakout game with Aaron Rodgers. Give me his first touchdown with Aaron Rodgers. And as a Bills fan, one of these teams is going to lose. So either way, it's a good day for me. Thanks for listening. As always, we'll be back on Friday to close out the week. Hopefully your week three fantasy week gets started off on a high note with Patriots and Jets. My name is Adam. Thanks for listening. As always, we will see you on Friday. Peace out.